Well, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And we're beginning a new series today, which I'm real excited about. I know I say that every time we start a new series. Have you know, whatever God has for us today is the best thing for today. Amen. And I'm going to seek to establish you in something today that hopefully will whet your appetite for more of it. We'll get you excited about what God has made available to us. We're going to begin talking today about wisdom. Wisdom, and I'm titling this series of messages, Wisdom, the Principal Thing. The Principal Thing. You know, if you go out and poll a bunch of people in the world and you ask them what the principal thing is, they're going to tell you all kinds of stuff. Many people would say riches and wealth, fame and honor and prestige, knowledge, and all these different things. That's what the world thinks is the principal thing. And then if you go in the church and you ask the church what's the principal thing, most people would say love, faith, grace, and all these other things. But how many of you know where I'm going with this? The Bible tells us what is the principal thing. And it's not all these other things that many people believe it is. It is the wisdom of God. So let's look here in Proverbs chapter 4. The Lord showed me, as He laid on my heart to start teaching on this week, that this is a subject that doesn't excite people very much. And there's two major reasons why. The first reason is because people don't think they need it. They think they got all the wisdom they need. They got enough common sense, knowledge, and prudence, and all these different things, so they don't feel like they need it. But what I'm going to seek to establish you in today is everybody in this room can use more wisdom in their life. And I'm going to seek to establish you in that and prove it to you by showing you the other reason why people do not get excited about this subject. And it's like this: because people do not value it. They don't see the value in her, in wisdom. And because of that, they don't seek after her. They don't strive to have more of her. But that's what I really want to establish you in today is how valuable wisdom is. How precious she is in our lives. So let's look here in Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 5. This will be our golden text as we go through this series. And we'll usually start off in this one because it's just profound. It says in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 4, get wisdom. Get understanding. Now, when you see the word get there, what does that mean? That indicates a couple of things to you. Number one, you need to get it. It's implying that every person that's reading this needs to get more of it. And guess what else it establishes you in? It's to be gotten. It's available to you. Amen. If Shannon were to call me on the way home today and said, get milk, then guess what that teaches me? We need milk, and there's some milk out there that apparently she thinks I can get. Amen. So right here he says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you have given us this beautiful roadmap to life called the Word of God. And I thank you today that you are going to begin to teach us that there is this precious entity out there called wisdom. And she is more precious and valuable than we have ever seen. So Lord, I'm asking you today to give every person under the sound of my voice a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this wisdom, so that, Father, the eyes of our heart would be flooded with light so that we would see the value of this wisdom that's available to us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher. You're the master teacher. You inspired the Word of God. Therefore, you're the only one who knows how to truly teach the Word. So we depend upon you today, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all the truth of the principal thing. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen means so be it. So when you say amen, it's not just a little religious cliche. It's you putting your stamp of approval. Let it be so, just as it was prayed, just as it was said. Amen? Praise God. So, it says here that wisdom is the principal thing. And we had a comical thing going on about this week when we were trying to prepare our little Facebook ad for this particular thing. We thought we had misspelled the word a couple of times because we thought it was talking about a principle, you know. But it's actually principle with an A-L. Which, what do you think of when you see the word principal? You think of the director of a school or a head teacher when you see that, right? Which, that's actually a great description of what this Hebrew word means right here when it says wisdom is the principal thing. Because when you see the word principal and you look it up in the original Hebrew language, it means that which is at the beginning, that which is at the top, that which is the head. So if you're talking about a principal in a school, what is that? That's the head teacher, or you could say the head honcho. Amen? That's what this word means. But in fact, this word, when you look it up, it's actually the same Hebrew word that was translated first fruits. You familiar what first fruits were in the Old Testament? It was a particular offering that they were prescribed to give, which was when they got their harvest, because they lived in basically an agricultural system. So when they got their first harvest that came in during the harvest season, they would take of the first fruits, the first, and turn around and give it to the Lord. So what were they doing? They were given the first and therefore the best of the harvest. So when you put all this together, what are you seeing? The Word of God is teaching us that wisdom is the first thing. Wisdom is the top thing. Wisdom is the highest thing. Wisdom is the best thing. Now, I know that this might create some arguments in some people's hearts, because many people, when they hear that, they'll be like, no, wait, Pastor. What about love? The Bible says the greatest of these is love. And doesn't the Bible put such an emphasis on faith throughout the New Testament? Well, you could make an argument that those two things are up there too, because they weren't certainly emphasized in the Old Testament. But right here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Solomon said wisdom is the top, the best thing. And the Lord spoke this to me when I was thinking about this. Lord, how do you balance this out? The Lord told me this. He said, love is the greatest thing. Faith is the necessary thing. But wisdom is the principal thing. So at the very least, you have to reconcile in your heart that wisdom is at the top of the list of what we should be desiring. Wisdom that comes from God, not the wisdom of this world. We're talking about true, pure, undefiled wisdom that comes straight out of the mind of God. This is something that we are supposed to be getting more of because we see it as so precious. So, I told you that I'm going to teach you today how this is true by showing you just how valuable wisdom is. So let's look at the next verse in this particular passage of Scripture. I want you to notice some of the terminology that's used here to describe the value that's in wisdom. In verse 8, Solomon goes on to say, exalt her, and she will promote you. Now let's stop right there for a second. How many out there could stand a little more promotion in your life? How many of you would like to get more promotion in your workplace, maybe in your vocation, your calling in the kingdom of God? How many of you desire and seek after more promotion? Well, the Bible's telling you right here how to get that. It's because when you exalt wisdom, you yourself will be promoted, or you could say exalted. Amen. Because to exalt means to promote. So we're talking about a simple, heartfelt attitude of putting wisdom on a higher pedestal in our heart than it currently is. Just simply by valuing her more, it will yield more promotion in your life. And then notice this. It says, she will bring you honor when you embrace her. Now, what does this mean to have honor brought to you? Honor means that people will value you. You will be respected more. Now, we see this all the time. Constantly, people get their feelings hurt. They get offended and all these different things. Why? Because they don't feel somebody's valuing them, respecting them, and showing them the worth that they believe they have. And they're seeking after trying to get people to do this for them. But what are we seeing right here? We're looking for it, but we're looking in all the wrong places. This Bible says, when you embrace wisdom, she will bring you honor. She will bring you respect. She will bring you value. Amen. So we're looking all the time in the wrong places, and we need to understand this is the value that wisdom has in our life. Just simply by changing our mindset to see how valuable and precious wisdom is, it will start to attract things in our life. More promotion, more this and that. So what are we seeing? We need to start seeking wisdom. We need to start valuing her. We need to just change our heart attitude that she is better than we've given her credit for. And we're going to talk more about this. I'm going to have a message in this particular series called this. Wisdom is a woman. You notice all the feminine characteristics that she's given. And basically what's being described here is the same way, listen to this, that you got your wife. I'm talking to the guys now. Is the same way you get wisdom. By what? Exalting her. So what are we talking about? Courting wisdom. Valuing her. Seeing her as precious and embracing her, loving her. And then she brings all these different things in your life. Amen? So notice verse 9 now. It says, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now what is this describing right here? It's not necessarily just describing that you're going to have jewels and a physical jewels or physical crown placed on top of your head. We're talking, this is a metaphorical type thing of how this is describing to us that she's going to bring you a place of prestige and honor and value in the eyes of other people. Amen? So it's not talking about just necessarily natural things. It certainly includes that, and we're going to get more into that in a moment. But I'm going to show you several scriptures right now to show you how wisdom is more valuable than all of these natural things that we have in this earth. Amen? Let's go to a few passages of Scripture real quickly. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all these. But let's go first of all to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs the 8th chapter. This is a very powerful chapter because this is wisdom talking herself. She's telling you what she will do for you. Amen. So wisdom is an entity. And we'll get more into that in the coming weeks. But let's look at verses 10 and 11, first of all, where wisdom speaks concerning herself. And she says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Now I want to just read you a couple of other verses. If you're taking notes, this is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. Solomon says here, how much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Amen. Job chapter 28 verses 12 through 19 says this. Job was speaking here and it says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. Now, you stop right here for a second and let me take a little rabbit trail. You know how many people out in the world today believe that you can truly find wisdom through nature, through all these different natural things? You know, oh, we can learn wisdom from the dolphins and the whales and all that. You know, there's people out there that believe all these squirrely things. We believe the Bible. And the Bible says it's not in the deep. It is not in these natural things. Wisdom and wisdom alone comes from the Lord. So we're not looking out there in natural things to try to get wisdom from that. But notice this. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia, apparently this was a very high commodity back then, it said, cannot equal it, nor can it be valued with pure gold. And finally, go back over to Proverbs 3. I want you to look at this. Proverbs chapter 3. You see in all these witnesses in the Bible describing wisdom as being better than all these natural things we place value in on this earth. Silver, gold, precious stones. And while we don't, most of us in here don't dabble in gold and precious stones and things like that, we can just bring it home. It's more valuable than hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, and millions and billions of dollars. Wisdom is worth more than anything that has value placed on it on this earth. And we see it one more time listed here in Proverbs chapter 3. And let's start in verse 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. You know, the world out there, when they say they get wisdom, those people, when they get all that knowledge and everything, they look like, man, they've been drinking prune juice. There is no happiness in their life. They lose so much joy. There's no joy that accompanies it. See, the Bible's telling us when you get the wisdom that's from above, it will produce happiness in your life. It'll produce joy in your life. Amen. And then it says, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. So how many witnesses do we have here where the scriptures are teaching us, emphasizing time and time again, wisdom is worth more than any natural thing that you could ever desire on this earth? Now, we would nod our heads and agree with that. But do we live like that? Right? When was the last time any of us asked the Lord for wisdom, more wisdom in our life, and we were striving to get more of it? You know, but we live, you see, people will say all the time, well, man, money's just not that important to me. Well, why do you spend 40 hours a week trying to get more of it? And we don't spend any hours trying to get more wisdom. And what we're about to find out right here is wisdom has proceeds. Notice this word right here. It says in verse 14, for her proceeds. Now the word proceeds describes revenue, income. These are things that profit us when we get wisdom. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that tells us comes along with wisdom. So I want us to look at a few of those now. Let's now go over to, well, just stick here in chapter 3. No, go to chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. Let's go back over to where wisdom's talking herself. And I want to show you some powerful scriptures. And I prayed this morning that the Lord would stir it up in you. Because I'm telling you, saints, and you need to really get this, if you get wisdom, all the other things that you want to get will come as a byproduct. Instead of seeking after all these things, find the person of wisdom. And when you find that, she's going to bring with her all of the revenue you want. Amen. Chapter 8, and let's look at verses 15 through 21. I love this. Thank you, Jesus. Again, wisdom is speaking for herself. And she says, by me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles all the judges of the earth. So what are we seeing right here? Is that all the kings, people in these positions of authority out there, they use wisdom in their position. And I would add this, they got in their position because of wisdom. Because they knew something. They had a certain working order of this stuff in their life, how things work. And because of that, because of what was up here and in here, it caused them to excel to the position that they were in. So thus the reason you get promotion when you get this. I love those who love me And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. So what are we seeing right here? When you get wisdom, what do you get? Riches and honor. And I love this right here, enduring riches. Not money with in pockets that have holes in it. This is something that will stick around. This is something that will continue to be working in your life. It will be an ever-increasing in wealth. Natural things. Now, people like to spiritualize these promises and stuff like that. Solomon had no revelation of righteousness and spiritual things in the kingdom of God. When he was saying this, he's talking about natural stuff. And you wonder why he said this. Because this should immediately draw you back to an interesting example in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Do you remember when the Lord appeared to Solomon? And most scholars believe, listen to this, most scholars believe he was just a teenager when this happened. He was a young guy. And God comes to this teenager and says, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Now, how many of you know that don't sound like a lot of wisdom right there, does it? How many of you would ask your teenagers, I'll give you whatever you want? No, because you know they're going to say, oh, I want that brand new red convertible out there, you know. They're going to ask you for all kinds of flaky, squirrely stuff. But right here, the Lord came to Solomon, said, I'll give you whatever you want. And he said, give me wisdom, knowledge, so that I can rule over these people that you've made me ruler of. And what did the Lord say? He said, because you did not ask for long life, riches, honor, wealth, or the life of your enemies, I'm going to give you all those things and the wisdom that you've asked of me. Amen. Now, on a casual reading of that, you might think that the way it worked was this. And this is what most of us believe, is that because he asked for the right thing, the Lord said, okay, I'm going to reward you for asking for the right thing by giving you all this other stuff. But that's not really true. That's not what happened. The language might indicate that, but what we see from scriptures like this is what? Solomon started to get a revelation after this situation happened, after he got the wisdom. And you know what it was? Is that all these things that the Lord said, I'm going to give you because you didn't ask for them, but because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these things as a byproduct of the wisdom that you've got. In other words, because you got wisdom, I'm going to bring all the rest of these things that people would normally ask for into your life. Amen. So they come as proceeds, as revenue, as income in the natural, praise God. Amen. So notice this now. This is enduring riches and righteousness. Notice what she says. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. Not one person's excited about that verse other than me. I mean, really? We're trying to get more of this stuff, aren't we? We're finding out right here how to get it. By getting wisdom. Wisdom says, she said, I will cause those who love me to inherit wealth. So you know what your confession should be going forth? I love wisdom. Wisdom, I love you, baby, and I want more of you in my life. Start courting wisdom. Are you following me? Amen. And so then it says, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, this is Trey's translation. That I may fill their bank accounts and investments. Amen. Don't act like you're not excited about this. Because this is what you're wanting. Amen. Not just for you, but so you can have more than enough, like Solomon, to give into other people's lives. Amen. This is the Bible. This is not the NIV, the non-inspired version. I'm reading straight from the New King James, which came out of the New and Better Covenant. Amen. Praise God. Then it says this, skip down to verse 32. Thank you, Jesus. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed... Oh, man. So if wisdom is a female, and now she's saying, listen to me, my children, then wisdom is like a mother. It's Mother's Day, you know, that should go over pretty well. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. So what are we saying? The person that acquires wisdom is a blessed man or woman. And what does this mean to be blessed? Well, go read Deuteronomy 28. You're the head and not the tail. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. Amen. Everything is blessed in your life. Why? Because I got wisdom. Amen. And then it says, notice the next verse. It said, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me. Finds who? Wisdom. Finds life. Now, what have we been talking about for months? The good life. The good quality of life God has prearranged and made ready for all of us to live. So this isn't a disjointed message. This is actually a great continuation of what we've been talking about. Amen. Which is what? That if you want to find that good life, that quality of life that God has for you, how are you going to find it? By finding wisdom. And the life comes as a byproduct of getting the wisdom. Amen. And then it says, and obtains favor from the Lord. How many of you could stand to have a little bit more favor from God? Favor in your business, favor in your marriage, favor in your church, favor in every area of your life. Amen. We can all stand to have a little bit more favor where God's just pouring it out on you. And let's say it this way. Instead of me asking you if you already have favor or if you're seeing all these things, would other people look at your life and say they got more than enough favor? You know, I don't know too many people that people are constantly talking about this other person saying, man, they got all this favor. Favor just abounds in their life. This tells us we obtain favor from God by obtaining wisdom from God. Amen. So this should be just absolutely making you just salivate for more wisdom in your life. Now, people will hear this, and they'll be like, well, Pastor, and this is what some people are thinking. I just don't care that much about money and natural things, promotion and honor. Well, okay, I disagree with you. I think you do. But if that's what you're stuck on, if you're the type of person that says, well, I don't really care about all those things. I just care about having a good, long, pleasant, peaceful life. Well, that's okay. Guess what? That comes with wisdom too. Go back over to Proverbs chapter 3. See, in essence, if you're the person that's saying that, what you're saying is this, is that you don't care about what comes in wisdom's right hand, but you do care what comes in her left hand. Look here in Proverbs 3. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look back at this verse again. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her what? Right hand. Now, this is awesome. Did you know that there's a distinction made a lot of times in the Bible of long life and length of days? In fact, in Proverbs, you see a distinction made between that. What's the difference? Because we think length of days is just living a long time. How about this? If you operate in the wisdom of God, it will make your days seem longer. All the things that you... I'm struggling to get everything done throughout the day. Then you need wisdom. If you operate in wisdom, it'll make you multiply your time better. Amen. You know, we're not just supposed to be working harder. The thing to do, I learned this in banking, work smarter. If you work smarter, you're not going to have to work harder, and you'll get more results. Amen. Amen. I think it was Martin Luther that was quoted as saying this, I got so much to do today, I think I'll spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Now that seems like contradictory. I mean, you can't spend all this time in prayer if you need to get all this stuff done. But listen, he knew where he needed to get his wisdom to get all the other things done. And he'd be able to get done more with 3 hours less than with working and toiling during that time. There is a scripture in Proverbs that talks about sharpening the axe. And that wisdom is like sharpening the axe. See, what do a lot of people do? their axe is dull. Oh, it ain't sharp at all. And they are sitting there all day, whacking away, whacking away, whacking away, whacking away. And they're sweating. And they are just absolutely exhausted. They're frustrated. And then the other person's over there sitting there, sharpening their axe for a few hours. And those guys are looking at him and say, why don't you get out here and work with us? He's like, I am working. And he's sharpening and sharpening and sharpening. And then when he finally gets up and goes over to start cutting the wood, guess what? The sharper axe will cut the wood quicker than the dull axe. And then he gets done quicker than the people that have been working and toiling all day long. That's what the wisdom of God will do for you in your workplace, in your family, in whatever you do. Wisdom, I like to say it this way, will make you look good. Oh, yes, she will. She will promote you. She'll bring you honor. She'll just bring blessings in your life when you're operating by her. And again, there's not a person in here that's operating fully by everything that she provides. We can all stand to have more. Amen? So let's continue reading. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So what are we seeing right here? A long, lengthened days in your life, accompanied by pleasantness and peace, comes in what? In the right hand of wisdom. So if you just want, if you're just satisfied with just living a good, long life, wisdom will do that for you too. Amen. Notice this. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. Now, boy, the Lord spoke to me about this morning. You had a bunch of trees in the garden in the beginning, right? But you had two major trees that were emphasized. What were they? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did they choose to do? They sought after knowledge instead of wisdom. And what happened? See, this is the problem right here. Knowledge is good. You've got to have knowledge to have wisdom, because wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. So you need to have both, but the problem many people make in their life is they're constantly just seeking knowledge. Thinking, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but thinking knowledge is wisdom. Knowledge is not wisdom. If you just accumulate a bunch of information in your life, it can actually not produce happiness in your life, and it can actually produce death and just puff you up. The Bible says that, right? But if we find the wisdom of God, we find the tree of life and experience the life of God, and we'll live a long time. Now, as we go through this series, we're going to talk about wisdom in everything. Wisdom in your finances, wisdom in your physical body, wisdom in all these different areas. But right here, we're going to see it's going to be what produces health in your life. Amen? Operating in the wisdom of God. So, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Thank you, Jesus. So, do you see how valuable wisdom is in your life? So, I told you that today I was going to prove to you how you need more wisdom by showing you the value that she has and the proceeds she has. We just asked ourselves these questions. We've learned that wisdom will promote you. Can you stand to have more promotion in your life? Yes. Wisdom will honor you. Could you stand to be valued a little bit more in your life, respected? Yes. Wisdom will provide favor from the Lord. Can you stand to have more favor from God? Yes. Wisdom will produce riches and wealth and fill your bank accounts up. Could you stand to have a little more money in your life? Yes. And the list goes on and on and on of what she will bring in her left hand and in her right. So if you could not answer that I have all of those things that I'll ever need, then guess what? You need to get wisdom. So what we're going to do in the coming weeks is talk about how to get her, how to attract her in your life. And we're going to get into specific details of how to obtain wisdom from God. And I'm telling you, this is something that has meant more in my life and ministry than anything else, is getting wisdom of God and learning how to operate in that wisdom. It keeps you out of so many problems. There are so many ministry mistakes out there and mistakes in businesses just simply because we're not given foresight to things. We're not thinking ahead and we're just blaring along. We're like the guy with the axe that's dull and we're wasting time. We're going to talk about how not to do that in our lives. Amen. So this is something that we're going to emphasize over and over, and you know how we do it here at High Point Church. We're going to spend time on this, a long time, so that it starts to get, it envelops your life, begins to affect you, so that when people look at us, they like they did with the deacons in the early church, they say, man, these people are full of the Holy Ghost, they're full of faith, and full of wisdom. And this is what it's going to produce in your life. All these other things that it's going to just, you're going to be more of a blessing. It's going to make you more of a happy person. It's just going to do wonderful things in your life because you have courted and married wisdom. Amen. Let's stand on our feet then. Praise God.